So what I want to talk about is a community health assessment that I conducted about 3 years ago. What this was a comprehensive community health assessment that was specific to maternal child health in Spokane County. And I just want to get started with, for those of you who do not know Spokane County or where Spokane County is located, it's in the state of Washington on the northeastern part of the state. It's about 1781 square miles. It has a population of 459,000. 90% of the population there is white, non-Hispanic. Average age is about 35.4. Medium household income is just above $48,000. 12.3% of the population is below poverty, and we have approximately 6,000 births per year. When we did this comprehensive maternal child health community health assessment, one of the things that we decided to do this was initially, before we had ever done anything like this, we basically were just looking at stats for maternal child health in Spokane County. This actually gave us an opportunity doing this type of comprehensive community health assessment to really look at what risks were out there specific to women in Spokane County. And we wanted to also look at the odds ratios for specific risk factors and specific populations in Spokane County. This report was about 70 pages or so. So this is the entire report here. These were all the different indicators that we looked at, and we broke it up into two different groups, maternal health and birth outcomes. And you see under the demographics, we basically looked at all these indicators, looking at the different age groups, race, ethnicity, insurance status, education, marital status, whether the woman was a single parent or not. And then looked at medical risks, so maternal mortality, STDs, C-sections, diabetes, hypertension, and so forth. And then behavioral risk of the mother, looking at smoking, prenatal care, folic acid, pregnancy spacing, and so forth. And then on birth outcomes, both prenatal and then postnatal, and then we looked at conditions requiring medical attention, situations with NICU and family support after birth. Now, I don't have time to go through this entire community health assessment. What I'm going to focus on is the maternal smoking part. I was in a unique situation when doing this community health assessment that this data was actually used to develop a program which we call Neighborhoods Matter in Spokane County that is addressing maternal child health issues, but also looking at the health inequities and social determinants of health. So, and that's what I'm going to focus on, but we're going to look only at the maternal smoking part of it. So initially, what I want to talk about are the overall births in Spokane County. So in looking at all the births in Spokane County, like I said, we have approximately 6,000 births per year. There's been an increase from 2000 to 2008, about 8%. You see that approximately 10% of all births in Spokane County are in our teenage pregnancies. And I wanted you to keep this in mind simply because we talk about other risk factors, you see that the risk factors are pretty high for this age group, yet it only makes up 10% of the overall births. You also see that by race, about 85% of all births are white, non-Hispanic. And about 15% are all the other ethnic and racial groups. Now keep this in mind as well, because as we look at the risk factors for maternal smoking, you'll see that the rates for these particular groups are much higher than those of the white non-Hispanic. So the overall births by education, if you take a look at this, what you see is about just under 40% of all births in Spokane County were to mothers that either had a high school education, or less than a high school education, or a high school education. question. Sorry about that. And then we look at the use of Medicaid and WIC, and we use this as a proxy for poverty. And you'll see in Spokane County, about 50% of women that are giving birth utilize WIC services, or they were and they were on Medicaid, were Medicaid recipients. So in maternal smoking in Spokane County, what we saw here, and this was one of the reasons why we looked at maternal smoking as one of the important factors in Spokane County, was that it was twice that of the state. It was significantly higher and continues to be significantly higher. You know, after all, going back to 2000, 2006, it's still, you know, two times higher than the state. If you look at maternal smoking by, we break it down by the different age groups, you see that, again, you know, it didn't matter for Spokane County when we compared ourselves to Washington State. We were significantly higher in all these areas. So for each age group, what we saw was that we had a problem with smoking. It didn't matter what age group it was. You do see that as the age increases, that smoking decreases, but again, we're still higher than the state. The other thing that's interesting here is that looking by race, it didn't matter what race we looked at or ethnic group, each one was significantly higher than the state. So again, here's another area that we're looking at. And again, does it matter which group the women belong to? We had a problem. Now, what I want to point out here that's really alarming to us, and we're actually wanting to look at this, is the Hispanic population. You see the Hispanic population, it's about four times higher than that of the state. Historically, Hispanic women do not smoke when they're pregnant, yet in Spokane County, what we find is we do have a problem there. If we go to a neighboring county that's adjacent to Spokane County, the maternal smoking rate for Hispanic women is actually lower than the state. So we're not certain why we have this problem in Spokane County, but it does exist. And then this is smoking during pregnancy by maternal education. And what you see here is that in Spokane County, of those women who have less than a high school education, about 50% of those women are smoking. So half of the women are smoking. And as, again, you know, as education increases, you see that smoking decreases, but still, we're still higher than the state for the most part in each one of these educational groups. And this is just a ratio of just showing between those that the different education levels and those that had an advanced degree. So those with less than a high school education, it's like 40 times higher than a woman in Spokane County who has a four-year, or an advanced degree, I should say. And it's still 23 times higher for those that have a high school, who are graduated from high school or have a GED, compared to those women that have an advanced degree. So the other thing that we did on all these indicators was we mapped this out. We mapped each one of these indicators for the different neighborhoods in Spokane County, and we found for maternal smoking that this was primarily happening in the areas surrounding downtown. Which are predominantly low-income areas as well. And what was interesting was these were also areas where there was a high proportion of women that live, women that were of other ethnic groups outside of white, non-Hispanic. So what were the findings from this report that we did? Well, we found that pregnant women with lower education were 4.3 times more likely to smoke than pregnant women with a higher education. 40% of the women were unmarried. Unmarried pregnant women were 5.8 times more likely to smoke. Pregnant women that were on WIC or that were on Medicaid were 4.3 times more likely to smoke. 26% of pregnant women with unintended pregnancies smoked. 13% of pregnant women who smoked had a preterm infant. 10% of pregnant women who smoke have a low birth weight infant, and 34% of infant deaths identify that the mother smoked while pregnant. And this is all specific to Spokane, and this was all new to us. I mean, we had never really looked at any of this information. So, as a result of all that information from that comprehensive community health assessment, what we decided to do was actually develop a program called Neighborhoods Matter, which was an innovative approach to addressing maternal child and family health disparities and inequities in Spokane County. This was all a result of all the work that we had done prior to that. So that whole entire book that we, with all the indicators, we wanted to, okay, address the maternal child health issues, but how were we going to do it? And so we actually developed this program, and that's what I want to talk about now. Neighborhood Matter is a targeted, community-driven, community-based approach to reduce the health disparities impacting maternal and child and family health. It's intra-divisional, interdisciplinary program. What I mean by that is that it's not a program that is specific to one division in our health department. There are several different programs that actually participate in this program. So for instance, myself as the epidemiologist is part of this group. We have people from health promotions that are part of this group. We have people from environmental health that are part of this group. We have people that are from child family services that are part of this group. It is being funded. We didn't create new funds for this. These are all existing funds that we have. So 18% are from state consolidated contract dollars, and 82% of it is from local dollars. The idea here was to change from an individual approach to a community approach. And what I mean by that was, before, when we used to address, say, maternal and child health issues, what we were always doing is trying to just look at it on an individual basis, you know, and trying to, okay, their habits, their risk factors, try to change their behaviors in that respect. What this program does is actually look at what the community, why are things happening in that community to actually cause women to, in this case, smoke. So really looking at the root causes of why things are happening in that community. Again, this was a three-year program as well. And so when we started to look at this program, we had to decide on a specific neighborhood that we were going to do, because there's 39 neighborhoods that we identified in Spokane County. Of those 39 neighborhoods, there was no way we were going to do the 39 neighborhoods, and so we had to select one of those 39. This whole selection process, we wanted it to be transparent. And so this is sort of the methodology that we identified identifying the community that we were going to, the neighborhood that we were going to select. So initially, the way this starts is that we looked at this report that I talked about earlier, and that just basically gave us this, put all the neighborhoods out into play, and looking at those neighborhoods and identifying the data for those neighborhoods, we were able to identify three neighborhoods that were going to be considered for this project. Of those three neighborhoods, what we did was we looked at community assets in those neighborhoods, and we also had them fill out an application, which was similar to applying for a grant. And based off of all that information and data that were specific to health information, maternal child health data, we were able to select this one community, East Central, and that's where we're actually focusing our work. So initially, what we did was look at these items right here: teen mothers, maternal smoking, unmarried mothers, births paid by Medicaid, late or no prenatal care, low birth weight, preterm birth, and short IPI. And so this is how we looked at all this data, all this information, and we put it all together by each neighborhood for each one of the indicators. We ranked all the different communities, and we were able to identify these three communities here at the bottom that are circled. Then we looked at different, there was two different factors that we looked at. There was the quantitative portion and the qualitative portion. And the quantitative portion has all these demographic, poverty factors, health factors, maternal infant factors, and there was indicators specific to those factors. And then we had a qualitative part that looked at this application, and we had people review that and to determine which of the communities we were going to go into. This is just real quick. These are the different factors that we had with the indicators. here is the, these are the factors from the application. And in doing that, these, we were able to calculate numbers from that. And then after what we did was we added these numbers up and we identified the last East Central as being the community. And so if we look at East Central compared to the other, to Spokane County and Washington State, because we wanted to know, okay, was East Central the a valid community for us to do this? And you see this, one, it's a diverse community. One in four people in that community are from a different ethnic group that's not white. A third of the population there is on food stamps. Children in there that go to school, about 75% of them receive free and reduced lunch. The life expectancy is only 74.3 years. And you see maternal smoking is about three times higher than that of the state. So here's the Neighborhood Matters structure, and this is unique to us. What we have is a Neighborhood Governance Council, and this is actually made up of individuals from the community. We went out and we asked people if they wanted to be part of this thing. These were also people that were key individuals in the community. They were leaders in the community. So they're part of this governance council. And they actually are the ones that are deciding which things we're going to be talking about or addressing in the community. Then we have our SRHD staff, which I'm part of. And that's basically, we're the individuals that are the experts in trying to help this group, the council, in collecting the data, analyzing it, so that they're able to make those decisions. Then we have this Neighborhoods Matter Advisory Board, which is made up of key individuals in the county, primarily legislators. So we have our mayor that's on that board. We also have our health officer that's on that board. And that group helps the governance council with issues on policy in Spokane County. So if there's changes that need to be made, the advisory board will help them with the logistics on the policies. And then we have our steering committee that's just the oversight for this project, and that's made up of individuals from SRHD. These are people that are the directors for the different programs. This is just the models that we're using, and just want to go through this really quick. Before, we used to do service delivery. Now we're doing a community building, and we focus on the assets. So we go in and we identify the assets in the community and use those assets to address to come up with solutions to the problems that have been prioritized by the group. And this is just idea of how we gathered the information in, like, what were the problems in the community. And so we had focus groups, we had key leader interviews, and we did some asset interviews as well. and so we, all this information, we identified neighborhood assets and concerns. This went to the Governance Council. Governance Council is now prioritizing, and they're developing a work team. And that's the place that we're at right now, is with the work team and identifying, you know, what actions we're going to take on these concerns that we have prioritized. So the next steps are, you know, we want to share our best practice interventions, create action plans from this with short and long-term goals, conduct community training for implementation, identify and address policy issues impacting neighborhood and county and on ongoing, that is ongoing, and develop a communication plan. And
that half a minute for some questions, but actually we'll open it up to questions.
Sure.
And please repeat the question.
Sure.
Hi. I wonder if there has been actions identified in the brainstorming, you know, list at this point, and if so, what types of things are they, individual counseling? And I ask that because I have many students in the county that can make some of that, or are they more environmental?
No. Actually, the areas that they're focusing in on, The three areas that they're prioritizing are maternal health, focusing on smoking and parenting, and physical activity and nutrition is another area, and then the third area is housing, transportation, and neighborhood safety.
Can you elaborate on the focus groups that were done?
Sure.
You know, who were the
Sure.
What
the primary purpose was? Yeah, we conducted focus groups, two focus groups in each of the neighborhoods that was up for consideration of the last three. They were primarily made up of individuals that represented that community. So, like for instance, if there was women, there were different ethnic groups present, different age groups present. We had, it was just a variety of individuals that basically who lived in that, business owners. And what we had talked about or what we had asked them about was what the questions were revolved around a healthy community, what their perceptions were about a healthy community, what were issues or concerns that they had that they wanted to be addressed, what were issues or concerns about how issues or concerns were being handled, who would they go to for assistance if they needed something changed in their community? And that gave us an idea of what problems that existed in that community. So that was one of the areas that we were able to gain information to come up with these areas that we wanted to address. Sure.
Yes, but we can also open it up to questions for any of the speakers, because we're now in our last 10 minutes of general time. So if you have questions for any speaker, just identify the speaker.
Why smoking? Yeah, so the question is, on the focus groups, did we get any insight onto why smoking prevalence was so high? One of the ideas that's come up from the focus group was that, particularly with women who were teenagers or in their 20s, they felt that smoking was not a risk factor for pregnancy outcomes, and the reason being was that they had a friend or a sister that had a baby and the baby came out fine. So they didn't, to them, it was not, they didn't make that connection. They basically didn't see it as a risk factor for poor outcomes. And I'll tell you, one of the things though that we're doing is, in addressing the maternal child health part on maternal smoking, we have started these groups where they're support groups that pregnant women go to at these local cafes. They sit down, they talk about not just maternal smoking, but other risk factors as well regarding maternal child health. And it's facilitated by a counselor, but they get together, I believe it's like once a month or so. So.
I read an article not so long ago that said it took the average good idea clinical guideline 17 years to be accepted. That was from the Institute of Medicine. Part of the problem is, yes, providers tend to teach or work the way they learned in medical school, or nurses, what they learned in nursing school, and they don't they don't keep up. Now, with the internet, one would think that people could change the next day, but then there's the danger of ideas that aren't so good getting promulgated. I don't have any good answer. I'll get somebody else up here next to talk about this, but I think it's very, very difficult. And I think you just have to keep at it and at it and at it, and eventually it will change. Are those questions for me? Oh, okay. I'll just break in here because this is being recorded. So the comment is really that it's practically impossible to do everything that the guidelines recommend. Do we have some other questions? Comments?
I actually have a question too. Going back to Washington, my question was, are the smoking rates in general, if you look at women in the preconception time point, are they high? I mean, are they just unusually high smoking rates in that area among women, or and men for that matter, overall?
I don't offhand. I haven't looked at that in general, what the smoking rates for men and women in Spokane County are.
Okay.
But I, like I said, you know, there just seems to be something happening there mm-hmm. in Spokane County with internal smoking. Literally, if you go to next county next over to us, either in either direction, they're not as high. So what's happening there, I'm not quite sure.
Good.
what I wanted to say, and I actually was running out of time, is in this program, really what we're looking at, you know, we go in with the attitude that we're the experts. We know what's going on about, you know, the community. We have the degrees and everything. And on the contrary, it's actually the community who knows the community and what's going on. They're really the experts about what goes on in the community. And so really, it's this relationship, this rapport that we need to establish between in our case, the health department and the community, so that we're able to make these changes and better these people's health, to simply just go in there. And in a lot of cases, we're looked as a government agency. They don't trust us. And so, you know, to go in there and build that rapport with them and actually listen to them, treat them as the expert, I think is starting to work, you know, in our favor in trying in getting these things changed. A perfect example is, in a focus group, I had asked what community assets were. And one of the participants there had said in her community, the asset was a fast food restaurant. And I was just totally obliterated to that. I mean, I'm like, fast food restaurant, really? Can you explain that to me? And she said, well, I have 5 kids. You know, McDonald's on Wednesday, I can get, you know, for $10, all the kids get fed. They're they're full. And I didn't think of it as being an asset. I thought, you know, this is actually something that is a problem. But from her perspective, it was an asset. And so listening to them in that respect and understanding where they're coming from, we can build that rapport so that we are able to make these changes, you know, and not be in the way of like being, you know, telling them, okay, no, that's bad. You can't do that. You can't go there. You know, they're not going to listen to us. I mean, to me, you know, they have a routine. They're going to do that. And so in trying to make those changes, I think that's what we have to do is listen to them. So.
I think our time is about up. I'd like to commend the 4 speakers for very interesting and well-done presentations. There's a sheet being passed around. It's now on this side, asking you to list your attendance and if you're interested in reviewing abstracts in the future. If you wouldn't mind to please try and sign it before you leave. Thank you again, and let's give all of our speakers a round of applause.